Welcome to Whitefields Church Podcast. Our focus is to help you grow relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope you enjoy the message.
I was drumming today. If I was too loud on drums, you know, for you, may the Lord give you grace to accept that. Just, I cannot contain my love for my King, for my God. I'm just telling you, there's something that's happening. There's definitely a shift that's happening in the spiritual realm. You see the hunger is just stirring up. There's something within you. I'm telling you, if you go home or if there's times in the moments where you literally are just experiencing and feeling that, like, hey, pray now. Don't miss that opportunity. Go and pray and begin to just thank God because He is so awesome. He is so awesome. He's here. I asked that. I know that we were starting a little bit, but we took more time in worship, which is beautiful. And this is the explanation because we are of what we're actually going through. We've been on the series of worshiping warrior. I don't know when we're going to stop. Maybe when until we go until Jesus returns. But I'm just telling you, there's something about a church that prays and a church that knows how to worship their King. This is not just some kind of singing songs or something. It's an expression in your heart, right? It says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So I love, that's why you'll see people shouting, screaming. If you're not used to seeing somebody going, hollering in the middle of worship, screaming, dancing like David, you know, it's normal because it's our expression to our King, amen? Hallelujah. All right. Man, praise the Lord. All right, going into Psalm 34 today. I'm going to read all of it. All right. It's based off the song we've been singing, Trust in God. This Trust in God, we sandwiched it into in our worship set today. It was in the middle, like a nice fat patty. It's just like and I'll explain it because it's such a profound, it's been an anthem for my spirit, for my soul, and I'm telling you, there's something about powerful that happens when, especially when the song comes out of a scripture. I'm big on that. So let's just dive in. And Lord, help me get through it all today, Lord. But I ask you, just be patient, even if we stand a little bit more, but I don't want to set you up for too much, but trust the Lord, okay? I promise you it will be worth it. I will bless the Lord at all times. We've been quoting that a lot lately, haven't we? We finally got to it, where it's coming from. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may seek good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. There's so much in this. I mean, you can just unpack, read, pause every verse and just unpack it. I'd have to read you the whole thing. The part, and then there's obviously the warrior within him always shown in all his psalms that we talked about. He's a worshiping warrior. Verse 14, depart from evil, right, and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Another translation says those that have a meek heart, right? And save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In this world, you will have trouble, right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In other translations, the Lord delivers them through them all. It means they will go through them. That's why it says, I walk through the valley, right? He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Amen. The title of my message is The Trust Factor. I almost titled it The Ugly Trust, but I think you will understand why later. But let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, our faith is in you. Our hope is in you. Our confidence is you, in you. Lord, in you will never fail. I thank you that as high as the heavens are from the earth, so is your ways above our ways. Your thoughts are above our thoughts. I thank you that you hear every prayer of your children and every need, Lord, in this room. And Lord, I thank you in advance for answering prayers of your people, even the prayers that we don't even have words for them anymore, or maybe we put it on the shelf because nothing happened. Lord, we just come today with an expectant heart. Speak to us, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love watching you worship. I get that privilege because, especially when I'm drumming during worship. But I love watching you worship. And I know it may sound creepy, but it's just one of those joys of my job to get to see you worship your God. I'm telling you, it's something so beautiful. I love watching people worship. I love watching you have that resting, blessed face, you know, like that just before the Lord, you know, just like, hey, I'm in him, Lord. You know, just that's it. Nothing is holding me back from you, Lord. And I love worship songs and just seeing how they connect. And that's why I've noticed a lot of times the worship songs that are based off scripture are so much more powerful. And I'm very particular about our church, with our church choosing the right worship songs. I mean, I'm not afraid. We have amazing worship leaders. We have Lonnie, Christina, I mean, we have our worship team, and they're all in the spirit, you know. But it's something beautiful. Like this morning, like when we were singing, you know, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Did you know, like, you were singing scripture? So give yourself a clap to yourself right now. Just say thank you. Hey, there you go. Come on. Yeah, guys, be engaged with me, all right? I need you to help me out because I really, just like I said, a few hours of sleep, but I got lots of caffeine, so help me preach today, okay? But we were singing scripture, right? And we were singing this out of Psalm 34, and I learned this fancy word, acrostic poem. I'd love to just look into what psalms are, where it's coming from. And so David wrote this. It's called acrostic poem, where they take the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of the verses is the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this is no average psalm of David. This came out of one of the deepest places. It's one of his greatest hits. I mean, like, it really is. It came so beautiful, and he put it together, you know. And he's teaching us what it means to trust in God through the whole psalm, right? And I'm assuming David didn't write this while he was in the midst of a struggle. Most likely it was after what went down, he was reflecting on it, right? Because I don't think anybody can pray alphabetical prayers when they're going through difficult times. You know, it's hard. You know, when you're looking at three bills, you know, looking at you and like you have no funds to pay any of them, right? Perhaps your spouse walked out on you. You know, you don't have time to pray pretty prayers, right? Or when they start firing people that are more qualified than you at work and you're like, uh-oh, it's coming, right? You don't have time to pray King James prayers is what I'm saying, right? While you're in the middle of it. You don't say like, I trusteth thee, Lord, in this situation, right? Because it's the reality, right? A lot of times we don't know what's coming. Something can hit us out of nowhere on Tuesday morning. And it's only after it happened, you know, looking back, like I say, Romans 8:28 makes sense later when you can say, huh, you know, I'm glad I bequeath my trust in him. I don't even know if there's such a word. I don't read the King James. But like, you can make it more pretty afterwards, right? Because you're like, wow, God was there all along, right? But when you're in it, you can't say it that fancy. It's true. So today's word is for somebody who struggles to trust God sometimes. Now, if you don't struggle with that, I want to be your friend. I don't want to hang around with you, and I want to get everything, figure out what your daily schedule is like. I'm just telling you because the question is, what does it really mean when we say, I sought the Lord, or I trust in God, right? Often in scriptures, when it says, so-and-so sought the Lord, it means they went to the temple, offered sacrifices, and prayed, right? But based on the context of the psalm, it's unlikely that's what David means. I'm assuming, or I'm guessing, he's probably talking about the type of seeking God. It doesn't have to do with a physical location or where I'm at, but it's more of a particular state of mind that I can have in my everyday. Because you're not going to be always on here in the Sunday service. Like, this is, you're not going to just show up anytime at the church and like, oh yeah, here's my church, right? You'll be in the middle of a working day. You got still 6 hours to go. It's only been 2 hours and you're like, this poor man is crying out, Lord. My coworkers are just, what is up with them? Everybody woke up on the wrong side of the bed, right? You know, like, it can happen. So let's break this down. It's interesting that David is so confident on one hand and then so honest on the other. You know, look at verse 4, 34, 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This word, fear, I think has to do with anticipation of something bad happening. You know, we do that sometimes, and I talked about it last time, like, oh, I just know today's just doesn't, it's one of those days, right? But it's a state of your soul. But you're in charge of that. You can wake up with the right mindset and say, doesn't matter what happened, even then, I will bless the Lord, right? You can set yourself, if you're setting up yourself, say, hey, I'm going to fast for one day, but I'm going to see how it goes. As soon as you say you'll see how it goes, you're kind of setting yourself for failure. You have to make up your mind, see the finish line, and say, this is the goal, right? I hope you understand. We're going to just talk very openly, and I'm share the best that I can with you openly. So the psalm starts so beautifully. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's in the first verse, right? 34:1. But this verse kind of got me intimidated. I used to just say it all the time. But you know, sometimes you just say it, but when you think about it, it's just like jamming out to certain songs, but then you start listening to the words, you're like, well, I like the beat, but what was the words, right? But it got me intimidated because I don't always walk around praising God. You know, like, I don't walk around just saying, oh, praise the Lord for this coffee table that I stubbed my toe on. You know, like, somebody probably wishes they could stub their toe on a coffee table. I don't do that. Like, I'm being real, right? I don't say, I sought when I bumped my toe, right? I don't. Maybe something else comes to your mind, but the reality is this. What encouraged me about the psalm was after he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, he says, God heard me pretty much when my heart was filled with fear. The psalmist says, my faith did not keep me from being afraid. Meaning, like, it's absolutely normal to feel afraid, to be anxious sometimes, right? But my trust in God is enough that oversees everything. Does that make sense? Like, I'm telling you, faith, you know, is, you know, my faith is not, doesn't mean that I won't feel afraid. It's okay to be afraid sometimes. It's okay to be worried. We see this in the Psalms of David, there and, you know, left and right, just through all of them. And God doesn't wait for you to, like I said, pray these eloquent prayers, or, you know, all of a sudden bust out in the King James, you know, or like memorize 13 verses in the Bible a day. All I had to do in the trouble was cry out to him, help. That's what David is saying. Is like, this poor man cried out. That's all I could do, right? And do you know that when you can't get a word out, literally when you have nothing left in your tank, that his spirit will intercede?
Yeah.
Let me show that. Romans 8:26, right, and 27. In the same way, the spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You got nothing left? Right? You ever feel anxious or like you couldn't even put your name on something, right? And all you have is just a groan? So you called on the name of the Lord that is greater than the feeling that you couldn't even name, but he heard, and somehow your groan was interpreted to the Lord, and the Lord is like, hey, I hear your cry. You know how there's Alexa and what's the other one? Siri. And then there's also Echo. You just say like, hey, Siri, right? I want to see how many will respond. I wasn't planning on that. You can say, hey, Spirit. Like, hey, Holy Spirit. I'm feeling dry right now. I have no clue what I'm feeling. Lord, I need you right now, right? Yeah. Hey, Holy Spirit. He hears you. He hears us. I'm telling you. And that is the most beautiful thing about the psalm. It wasn't about exactly how God's going to answer it. It was about that the fact that God hears me. And that alone has brought so much peace in my life. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out. All I know is that he hears me. Say it with me. Say, he hears me.
He hears me.
That's why I trust him. That's why I praise him. That's why I can't sit still during worship. That's why I can't drum quietly like nowadays. Bless the Lord, my soul and all that is within me, right? It's just coming out. And a few weeks ago, I talked about, David says, before him I pour out my complaint. He starts with a complaint. And then he ends with a praise. So if you don't know where to start, go for it. Just start complaining to him before. Like just during worship, say like, Lord, I can't do it. I can't figure out, right? Look at verse 6 and 34, 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard me and saved him out of his troubles. So he's contrasting the fear the author felt with the response that God gave him, right? Then in verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's agree, there's different types of trust, right? You trusted the chair that you're sitting on today to hold you, right? That is some level of trust, right? I'm sure if you sat one time on one of these broken, if there was a broken one, you'd probably be checking every one of them, right? That's what happens usually, right? That's how we learn. But you're not going to trust a chair to get you down Palmarcilla Highway, you know, back home. You'll need wheels for that, right? I hope we're understanding this. Like, different purpose, right? Different trust. I won't trust my chair or my car with my deepest, darkest confessions, right? I mean, that's where I do them in, oftentimes. That's where I pray. But you know what I mean? There's a different purpose, right? And hopefully, for example, when I'm sharing, another level of trust is you trust me with giving you the word of God, right? Like, to the best, and yet again, it's to the best of my knowledge. I'm a human, and I can fail, but I'm asking you to always make sure you're reading the scripture yourself, right? That's why sometimes I'll throw in something like that, and you're like, what? Is that in the scripture? Good. Always be checking, right? But today, I don't want to talk to you just about the moments where you totally trust God. I want to talk about those moments when you struggle to trust him. Through this Worshiping Warrior series, I've been giving the background to David's Psalms. And today I want to show you what happened in between, where David says, I sought the Lord, and this gap until when he says, God answered. There was stuff happening, right? And we see all sorts of stories of David and things like that. There's times where he danced before the Lord, and he was like, I am not afraid. I am going to dance even more. My worship is going to be wild before him. I don't care what anybody says. And he's the king. Right? But in case if you missed last you know, 6 weeks. Just give you a quick review. David, you know, is called to be a king. He's anointed. But as with anything God promises, there's a process to the promise. And we also talked about, right? Yeah. Maturity date. Saul was the first official king of Israel. By the way, if somebody ever tricks you in the question, just total side note, my dad told me. Moses was actually in scripture, it says that he was the first king. But official king was Saul. He wasn't the best king. He was an insecure king. He didn't always ask God what he should do. He did whatever he thought he should do to make sure he kept what he had. Which is the surest way to lose things, right? Because if you keep an open hand to God, he can fill it. He can give you more, right? But if you close it with a tight fist, you know, and make it about yourself, God can take that away, right? So, and that's how Saul lost his kingdom, his kingship. So Saul tried killing David. We've been talking about he's on the run, right? David's always on the run. He's trying to kill someone who God sent to protect him. You know, it's crazy what we do sometimes when we're not walking with the Lord. We can be attacking people that are actually trying to help us. But David had this, is this the fancy word, ambidextrous? Is that correct? I was thinking of both hands, right? Ambidextrous ability, you know, that he could have a harp in his left hand and a spear in his right hand. And this guy didn't miss. He was good, right? That's why he was a worshiping warrior. But one day, you know, he's playing a song for Saul. And an evil spirit overcomes Saul. And then Saul throws a spear at him. He missed because David ducked. And by the way, God will never allow something to happen to you before it goes through his hands. I'm serious. God is absolutely fully aware of everything that's happening in your life. Nothing is hidden from him. That's what the scripture says, right? But here's the story behind Psalm 34. Let's jump in because that's the connecting story for Samuel. If you look in your physical Bibles, some of them says, this is what happened in the psalm you remember, but that one actually gives us where it's at. You don't have to Google it or search it. 1 Samuel 21:10 is the story behind Psalm 34. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain the thousands, David his tens of thousands. Yeah. So David goes down to Gath. This is the territory of Philistines. If you guys remember who it was, where the big Philistine was from, Goliath, right? David now has to hide in the enemy territory, which speaks of David's trust. It's just so beautiful, right? Knowing that God would protect him even in the enemy's territories. And I wonder if maybe this is why David also says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because, I mean, he just knows that where I can go across the enemy line. God is with me when I acknowledge him in all of my ways, that he's at the forefront of my life. Amen? And when you trust in God, he will protect you even in the enemy territory. And maybe that's why he says, he who dwells in the secret most high shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, right? We talked about, right? That's your SPF, you know, spiritual protection factor right there, 91.1, all right? Highest protection you can get. I'm telling you, in the spiritual realm, just put that on, right? Know that he who dwells in the secret place of the most high. So I'm telling you, the more you spend time in the secret place with the Lord, the more you're going to experience his protection and all this because you recognize his voice. And you can quickly identify when it's an enemy speaking or it's just a somebody behind, the enemy that's speaking through somebody. And I can identify that I don't have to fight things on my earthly level. You see what I mean? Bible says that when he got to Gath, they recognized him. And by the way, the enemy always recognizes you, right? The enemy knows what you're capable of more than you do, oftentimes. Because the moment you receive Jesus in your life, there's a big target on you. And Jesus doesn't want you to, and the devil doesn't want you to, you know, work with him. Because now you're the enemy of the Satan, right? The devil. When they recognized him, David thought he was in trouble. That's what it says. Look at verse 12, right? David, 21:12 for Samuel. David took these words to heart. Yeah. and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. I love how so much, when you keep reading more about David, how much of the human aspects he experienced, and yet this man was after God's heart, right? So to watch David is just such a beautiful thing. But I have to show you what it looks like sometimes to trust in God. The psalm, you know, that he wrote and the connecting story. Because look at verse 13. This is what happens. So the moment he's like, he's afraid. He says, so he pretended to be insane in their presence. If you never read that, I mean, we have to talk about it. Because somebody at one time asked, what about David? He was a little crazy sometimes. Like, yeah, crazy before the Lord. I mean, with the Lord. He was experiencing difficulties just like anybody else, right? This is when he writes that I will bless the Lord at all times, when he's literally pretending to be insane in the presence. It says, and while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. If you never read that, well, you know, Bible is fun. You got to read it. That is action-packed. Thought about acting this out, but I prayed about it, and the Lord said, let my people use their imagination that we talked about last time. Amen. What an unpleasant picture if you think about it, right? I mean, depends how you look at it. You're like, wow, this guy who wrote like the greatest hits, greatest psalms, and here he is in this situation, right? He's running from Saul and seeking the Lord, and now he has this in this position where like saliva is dripping down his beard, scratching doors, you know, to get out of the situation because he really doesn't know what to do. But could it be God? I don't know. But you will see it, right? Perhaps you sang today, you're like, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, but you're not sure if he heard. This is for you. This message is for you. If we're honest, sometimes we don't even feel like we're seeking him. I don't always feel that. Not everybody who goes to church has a two-hour prayer moment in every day of their life. Amen. Not everybody who goes to church can quote Bible in Hebrew. Not all of us go home like, yeah, I'm just blessing the Lord at all times, just left and right, right? Even me this morning, you know, I was on the way to church, had to drink a lot of strong coffee. Was listening to Carlos Santana, just being honest with you, right? I needed something to wake me up, just nice guitar, just riff. Just one song, then I switched over to worship. But I'm just telling you because we have to call it like it is, right? I'm telling you that because sometimes we talk fancy about faith. I sought the Lord. Did you, Vic? Or is it just the guilt, right? Sometimes the enemy says, you don't really love God, Vic. If you did, you wouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Or you wouldn't be this upset about over something, right? We've got to be watchful. So David has spit in his beard while he's in the enemy territory. And he's talking about, I sought the Lord, right? So before you get ashamed of losing it sometimes, right? Can we celebrate the fact that at least you can lose it in the house of the Lord? You literally can bring here and pour out your complaint before him. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's something so profound. There's something so beautiful when you're being so transparent before the Lord. At least you're losing it in the room full of Christians who are also going through troubles of their own, right? Be real with him, right? I'm telling you, I found out that some of the most, when times where I was the most troubled, I experienced God in the most tangible, unexplainable way. Because God is not just the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. We were singing about that today, right? He will meet you where you're at. That's an example of when the father saw his son who left. And he ran to him. God loves us so much. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding. I experience God oftentimes because why? 46:1, Psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength and the very present help in trouble. He's right there. Sometimes Pastor Mark tells me, I used to complain to him. Oh, I didn't get much sleep. Oh, I don't know how this is going to turn out. And he's like, Vic, you preach better when you're exhausted. And then he says something like, just let the Holy Spirit flow through you. I'm like, that's great, you know, but my body doesn't think so. Like, you know, I mean, you don't know. It's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's easier said than done. And it's like, Lord, how do I tap into that, right? I mean that with all sincere heart, you know. I think seeking God is like that sometimes. When you say, I sought the Lord, the question is, what does sought mean? What does seeking God mean, right? And I don't think it just means that I went to church, I sang a song, I made a prayer request, you know, I quoted a scripture. It means something different for David in this situation because he has a saliva going down his beard when he's saying this. Like, I sought the Lord. I'm just connecting the story, right? And he answered. And he's like, but, you know, and I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. But I hope he heard, right? That's all the factor of our reality is all often. Because often I don't see the evidence to support that he heard. But that's how faith grows. That's the only way the faith grows. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, right? Evidence of things not seen. So it's like you literally are believing in the open air. You got nothing to hold on to. But your spirit, is connected to the Heavenly Father, right? And that's why you can just say, hey, Holy Spirit, I don't know. And so your spirit can start groaning. You're like, I have no clue. I have no clue how to pray right now, Lord. Because the Lord has placed his spirit within you. And that's connecting bridge that you can cry out to the Lord at any time of the day, any moment. Say, God, here I am. Here's my trouble, right? When Jesus was asleep on the boat, I was thinking about this morning. His disciples, remember when they said, Master, don't you care if we drown? Sure. You know, that actually brings comfort because I'm like, wow, they're with Son of God himself. And they experienced fear. Right. Right? This tells me that there will be times in my life where it looks like he doesn't hear me. But in reality, he's there all along, sleeping in the boat, right? And he's just waiting for me to call upon his name, right? Just to cry out to the Lord. That's why David's like, I cried out to the Lord, right? And he heard. So if you're here today experiencing difficulty, or maybe difficulty might hit 2 weeks from now. We don't know, right? David wants you to know one of the most beautiful psalms he ever wrote came from the most ugliest situations. That's probably one of the most, like, he probably looks back and like, that was wild. Some of the most beautiful testimonies in your life, you're going to sing about 2 years from now. Right. I just want to put that faith in you. I'm telling you, it's just because, I mean, it comes from God. But I want you to get excited to know that God is there all along. Right? I mean, I often just don't listen to him. That's the problem. That's what happens. And we say, where were you, God? God was like, I was here, but you went your way. For David, there was a 7-year space, not 7 minutes, not 7 months, 7 years on the run from his own government. Think about it, right? Living out of the caves. You know how many years passed from the moment he was anointed by Prophet Samuel until he actually became a king? 15 years. 15 years. So David is here in a tight spot, doesn't know what to do. Achish said, look at the verse 14. 1 Samuel 21, 14. Achish said to his servants, look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I short of madmen that you have bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? It's like, why are you bringing this crazy man in my place? And I'm like, could it be God? You were in the midst of his craziness. I don't know why, but this verse really hit me. I'm thinking, why one of the most beautiful psalms came out of the most ugliest situations? You know, you think David wasn't depressed? You don't think he had trouble? I love I love that we have the whole Bible and we have access to it, that I don't have to go based off of one verse. Say, oh yeah, I'll bless the Lord at all times. We'll take one passage of the Bible that we like and we just ignore the rest. But the reality was, we see the whole context of the story, right? Where he says, I trust in God. He's not saying, I never felt fear. Because the reality, it just says right here, he was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath, right? But it wasn't feeling of trust. It was a decision of trust. Let me say that again. It wasn't a feeling of trust. It was a decision to trust. You know, your feelings are fickle. Don't trust your feelings. You know, but faith makes you make a decision. Faith is connected to your decision making. Say, I will trust in God. I will love my wife. I will love my husband. I'm not going to say, I will see how this goes. Because if I'm a man of my word, my words need to follow action, right? I don't just throw the words around, amen? I trust in God. It's trusting God and doing it His way regardless of what the reality was telling us. Another 5 years pass, you know, of Saul chasing him. Three times, David has the opportunity to take matters into his own hands, right? But he doesn't. A few weeks ago, I talked about how in the cave, it was one of those moments where David found Saul, King Saul, in a vulnerable position, right? If I saw a king who has been trying to kill me, right, for so many years, and he's in the process of relieving himself. I mean, if I was a person, I'd relieve him of his duties right there. I would like be like, you're not gonna be the king. That's me talking, right? But think about this trust factor that David had, this opportunity that it's like clear coat. Even his men are like quoting everything, except they didn't quote the aspect of saying that God spoke about this day. Yeah, God spoke about the day he was gonna be a king, but now. The part that they made up, and I talked about, remember we talked about it, is they were like, oh yeah, now you go and kill him pretty much. Be careful in those moments of trouble because the enemy is always there to seek and devour, right? Yeah. One time there was, David stole a water jug and a spear. That's another time where David's like, I could kill you. Like, please stop messing with me. I'm here to serve you. Like, how many times do we have to go over that, right? Saul shouts back, he's like, oh, David, thank you so much for sparing my life. You're going to do great things. Like, Saul just totally switches and gives us an encouraging, uplifting message, you know. So strange, right, coming from an enemy that tries to kill you all the time. I'm just trying to show us that trusting God is harder than it looks on the surface sometimes, right? We don't always trust God like we wish we did. Okay, this is just me speaking from my heart. That's why God wants us to be like children. And last time I shared, I've talked about like having childlike faith, to have that imagination like faith, to be just so simple before God. It's the aspect of faith. A child doesn't care. Like you've seen those interviews, right? Somebody's on the Zoom meeting and the kid just walks in into the room. He doesn't care. I'm talking to him, praying to somebody after the church. Lev doesn't matter. Lev just walks in and he's like, Papa, pick me up, right? But that's the kind of trust God wants us to have. It doesn't matter what's happening. I can come up to him at any time. I love my father and he's my father, right? I'm covered under, it's not because I've done anything. It's just simply because I'm his son. I'm his daughter, right? We all struggle sometimes to see God. And you know, I don't call these moments of weakness anymore. I call them moments of meekness. Yeah. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, right? For they shall inherit the earth. Your meekness, your childlike faith, your simplicity before God is what God is after. You don't need to sugarcoat things. You don't need to have King James prayer-like. You know, you just come before Him and it's like, Abba, Father, right? Moments of doubt don't mean that you don't trust Him. And I'm telling you, faith is not always fancy. I don't always seeketh Him. When Saul told David, thank you for not killing me, God is going to do great things through you, and you're a better man than I am. Pretty much, I'm just rephrasing it. Do you know what David was thinking at that time? Look at six chapters later. I have to bring that up. 1 Samuel 27:1. But David thought to himself, one of these days, I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Just that first part I wanted to read, right? The same David who said, I sought the Lord, six chapters later thinks, I think I'm going to die. So which is it, David, right? I'm just telling you that the spear-dodging David, you know, got to the point, even 7 years of waiting, where he thought to himself, you know what, one of these days, I'm just going to die. He's experiencing all those things that are absolutely normal, right? It's kind of hard to say, God's praise will continually be in my mouth when somebody just keeps trying to kill me. It's kind of hard to say his praise will continually be in my mouth when my life keeps going backwards, right? It's kind of hard to say God's praise will continue to be in my mouth right now. You can experience those things in life. One of these days, I'll be destroyed. How could you think of that? It's like, David, whoa, how could you think that? You have a promise from God, right? You're anointed by the prophet Samuel himself. Trusting God doesn't mean you will never think fearful thoughts. Right. Trusting God doesn't mean you will never feel that you're going crazy. Man, last 2 years, I'm telling you, I couldn't figure myself out. I surely thought I was going to die, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was like, what is this? And then looking back on it, I can confidently say God was there all along. Yeah. Nobody knows, but he knows. Nobody heard, but he heard. When he cried out, I remember I cried out and said, I can. And I heard God say, I can. Yeah. Oh, he hears me. Yes, you're not crazy. You're going through training. I'm telling you, God is preparing his church, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. If you are his child, you will experience troubles. I just guarantee you, but it's training. You don't, like I said, you don't show up to gym and just look at the weights and just become stronger, right? You train. You go through things. And I'm telling you, every trial has a purpose. And every purpose, there's God's hand in it. And his promises are yes and amen, right? Somebody's like, you guys are crazy. I remember talking to a friend who was an atheist. He's like, you guys are crazy. And I said, yeah, we are. I love that because 2 Corinthians 5:13 says, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it's for you. I put on a front for you. But when it comes to the Lord, I'm going to bless the Lord, all my soul that is within me. I am not going to hold back before God. Everything in me belongs to God. So I trust in God, right? Amen. Seeking God sometimes is not that pretty. Sometimes you're praying 2 hours and you're not feeling it. You might be having spit coming down your beard. You know, I'm just telling you the reality. But God is not just the God of the mountaintops, right? He is in the God of the valleys. He is the God in your trouble, right? He is there in the midst of those ugly situations. But all you need to do is call upon his name, right? You call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. God hears you. If you don't remember anything from this message today, just know that God hears you. Say, God hears me. God hears me. Amen? God hears me. Amen. I don't have to figure out the next 50 steps, right? That's what David was really good at. That's what made him a man after his heart, because he knows that, Lord, you order my steps. He says that in Psalms, right, as well. I put my trust in you. And that's why I know, looking back, even at that moment, it felt like God wasn't there. But later, I'm like, Lord, I knew you were there all along. Amen? By the way, what's beautiful, I mean, think about it, right? When it comes to God handling situation, God killed Saul. I mean, David didn't have to. It actually is different. It's even better. It says Saul fell on his own sword. It's kind of like thinking about sometimes what the enemy does, right? David cuts off Goliath's head with the sword that he brought. Yeah. But that's trust. That's a serious trust factor, right? Factor trust. Let's stand. I don't know if I'll ever end. I think that some of us need to have just honest worship before God to develop that honest trust, right? Yeah. And even if you don't know where to start, like I said, right, you just say, Lord, I can't get it together. I can't figure this out. I can't get everything worked out, but my hands are lifted, right? Yeah. I want us to exalt Him. Let's just pick up our hands all across the room, just in the sign of surrender before the Lord. And begin just to thank Him. Just take the few moments. Just please thank Him. Just say, Lord, I lift You up. Lord, I don't understand this situation or that situation, but I know You care. And I know You hear my cry. Lord, until You lift me up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lift You up. Father God, we just come before You boldly. We'll lift up our hands and surrender to You. Lord, we come and we worship You and we say, Lord, we need You. We trust You. Lord, here's my life. Here's my dreams. Here's my heart. Lord, I bless Your holy name and I know that You will never fail. I put my trust in God, not my feelings, Lord. I may fail, but You, Lord, will never fail. Your promises are yes and amen. Lord, I will bless You. I will trust You with my future, with my family, with that situation that I have no clue what to do with, Lord. I will trust You with everything, Lord. I will trust You with this economy. I will trust You with every move. Lord, just begin making that declarations before Him. Whatever it is, say, Lord, I will trust You with that. Father God, I just trust You with every area of my life, Lord, because You will never fail. Your words are yes and amen. I will bless You, Lord, at all times. Lord, we know that Scripture says You reward those who diligently seek Him. So that's why I'm never going to stop seeking my God, because You are the Lord of my life. You're the King of kings. And looking back, I know that You will never fail, Lord. You will always, always have the final say in every situation. So Father, we just surrender. We surrender everything to You and say, Lord, have it Your way. Lord, when I go home, when I close those doors, when I begin praying, I will begin praying bold prayers. I will begin to go to that secret throne room and just speak with my Father. I will worship You, Lord, all the days of my life, all of the days of my life, knowing that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because Your right hand, Your staff, Your right hand is there with me, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I just pray You reignite every heart in this place in the mighty name of Jesus, that our faith would stir up, Lord, that every time when we show up on a Sunday morning, we're not waiting for a worship team to wake us up. Lord, we're coming up already stirred, ready to praise You, ready to worship You. Thank You, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I speak life over every situation, over every person in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. Not in my words, Lord, but in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. We give You glory and praise. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, whitefieldsalaska.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you today.